Thy strong word, we praise you and acknowledge you up through endless ranks of angels. Hi, this is Pastor Will Wheaton, inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Singing the Ancient Faith in Our Own Days. Making the Case is Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
Ourselves and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Like the precious oil of heaven, running.
is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
A reading from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Thus far the reading.
Thank you. chapter. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" He said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that he had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in the scriptures all that had been written concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in and to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We begin where the two men began in sadness. There is no "He is risen" cry from the people. There is no Easter Alleluia from them. For them, there is only death as these two men walk a 7-mile road in despair and sorrow. The one that they thought would redeem Israel is no longer. Not even the report from the women nor the visit of those in their group would soften the pain. Maybe we have walked with these men before. We've walked the road of loneliness, of losing a loved one so dear to us. Granted, we had not hoped this was the one that would redeem a nation, but we know death, don't we? And the victims that it has left behind in its wake. Today it is them. It was 3 days and they are still reeling from the pain of the loss. Which of us truly gets over the death of a loved one in just a few days? Especially for them, as they do not have that hope of the resurrection yet as we do. It is in this pain and sorrow that a stranger appears on the road. And this sojourner, they should know who he is, but they do not, for their eyes have been kept from seeing. It's a simple question that the stranger asks them. What are you talking about? Seems a bit nosy for a stranger just to ask such a question. And it makes them sorrowful. And they relate the story to the stranger, who apparently doesn't know what has been going on in the great city. Yes, we have walked this road with these men, recalling our story of one who we have loved and lost. We've traveled with them upon the dusty way of sorrow, eating the bread of mourning as they travel this road to a town called Emmaus. And as they travel farther from them, farther away from the city, maybe they hope to travel away from the sting of death, to put it behind them. Maybe death will get lost along the way and leave them alone for just a few moments. But it doesn't work like that, does it? Death follows better than a faithful dog. Death is bold, confessing its sting. These men have faced it, and they still have it upon their lips, overflowing in sadness from a heart that has been torn asunder. You see, death is good at that, and it has practiced this for many, many years. And you might expect this stranger to be sympathetic, right? Even if he doesn't know what's happened to him, give them a kind word, a hopeful expression, even if it's poorly placed. You know how that goes in some people who've lost a loved one. You just want to say something kind, but it doesn't turn out so well. But that's not what the stranger offers them. It's rather harsh what he has for them. He calls them foolish. Come on, have a heart. These guys are sad and you call them foolish? Well, we might have thought this if we didn't already know who the stranger was that is walking with them. Instead, he chastises them, foolish and slow of heart. Does this stranger not see that these men are hurting? And he goes and he insults them. But he knows what he's doing, and he knows what they need to hear, because he always knows what they need to hear. And this stranger preaches a sermon to them as to why the Christ must suffer. What an amazing teaching it must have been as he opened the scriptures, showing them how even back to Moses, it truly was actually about himself. And then they finally reach Emmaus and he pretends to go on. Now Jesus may be gone, but they still seek to show kindness to this stranger. And they invite them with him, and then it happens. And something that would seemingly be so normal, a couple of guys sitting around a table preparing to eat together, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Wait, what? Wait, what did he just say? hit the pause button for a second here, right? What did this stranger just do? What in the world is going on? Did you hear that? Surely those who are reading Luke's gospel pick up something here. He took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. There are only two times we get this, the feeding of the 5,000 and at the Lord's Supper, both with bread and both with Jesus as the host. Could this be? Might this be? Could it possibly be that the women were right? And there's something so significant about these words, his actions, this ordering that Luke tells us occurred. It is unmistakable. And now we have a stranger who has preached the first sermon since he resurrected and hosted this meal. Previously, their eyes have been kept from seeing who he was, but now they were open. Jesus reveals himself as he took the bread and blessed it and gave it to them. They epigenoscoed him. I believe this is more than just a recognition. You know what I'm talking about. You're watching reruns of Law and Order, right? And the guy, you're like, oh, that guy's been on a movie. I know I've seen that guy before, right? Or you're in the grocery store and you walk by somebody and you recognize, like, that's the weatherman from Channel 21. I recognize him. No. They knew him. This was Jesus. Their eyes were open. They knew him as he revealed himself in this meal. Even as he was their guest, he now was the host. And in a moment, their hope and joy was restored. Such great news that the Christ had risen in the flesh. He was right there with him. The men who previously ate of the bread of mourning were faced with the bread of life. Their risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And their hope and their joy was restored. Now, I don't know about you, but how can you keep that good news to yourself? It cannot be contained. It must be proclaimed. It must be shared. And even though it's evening, even though it's 7 miles away or so, they could have said, you know what? We'll take care of this in the morning. We'll get back to them in the morning. But no, they hightailed it out of there, right? They're not worried about the darkness or the fear or maybe the bandits that may jump them on the way. They couldn't wait till the next day. Their hope and their joy could not be contained. And they go all the way back to where they started just to report the good news to those in that room. I mean, you can almost see the scene, can't you? I imagine these guys probably out of breath at this point, and they walk in the door, and if I'm one of the 11, your basic human instinct was, didn't you guys just leave? What? You're back already? The Lord has risen indeed. They just couldn't wait to get this news. The men who began a journey in sorrow and sadness without hope now ended the day with great joy, because Jesus was alive and appeared to them a stranger no more. Their hope wasn't dead. Their sorrow had turned to joy. Their sadness to gladness because of the appearance of Christ. That is what the bodily resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, does. And we get the joy of reenacting this road to Emmaus in every divine service, don't we? We come to worship in sorrow because of the sin we bear. We come needing to confess our sin. And the pastor, the one who is in the stead and by the command of Christ, forgives your sin in that blessed absolution. And then in the sermon, proclaims that it was necessary that the Christ should suffer and die for them. And the way of sin and sorrow and death is replaced with the forgiveness of the living Christ, that we would have hope and joy through his blood that was shed for you and his resurrection bringing life again where death once reigned. And we gather around the table to receive from Christ the host his very body and blood under bread and wine given for you. And he is revealed. Free gifts given to you, paid in full by his blood poured out and sealed. And having received this blessed gift, we get to go back down that road that once was sad and sorrowful to return to where we came from with renewed hope and joy, to our homes and our neighbors and our vocations, with the same message: He is risen indeed. You know, there's two men on the road, and we're given the name of one of them, but not the other. We don't know why, but I have a theory. What if the unnamed disciple represents the church? What if it's you? Christ has appeared to you, appeared through your eyes, through word and sacrament, and now you get to go back and proclaim the good news. The resurrected Lord truly has come to you in a gift like no other, a sacramental union for your forgiveness. The stranger is no longer unknown. You epigenosko him. He is your Savior who has risen from the dead and still serves with his gifts that bring forgiveness, life, and salvation. Your hope is renewed. Their joy is your joy. Their journey back is your journey back. And the stranger is no longer that, as he makes himself known in word and sacrament. Some of you will get the opportunity, as a week from today, you will get your assignment, and you will have the blessed gift to bring hope to hopelessness. And there's nothing like it in the entire world, like being able to preach the blessed blood of Christ poured out for the sinner, and then to faithfully administer that precious body and blood to the repentant sinners for their forgiveness. As Christ made himself known to two men on the road to Emmaus on the third day, so also he makes himself known to a congregation named Emmaus on Covington Road just 3 days ago. And he makes himself known to you this day. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In our prayers, we remember a number from our seminary community who mourn the death of loved ones, including Jeff and Carrie Haydig, whose Carrie's father, J.B. Hooper, has died. Also, Tiffany Coolio, who mourns the death of her father, Mark Holderman, and Carrie and Kevin Howard as they mourn the death of Carrie's stepmother, Jody Jones. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, who live in the perpetual joy of his resurrection, and for all people, that they might come to share in those eternal joys. For the church throughout the world, that every heart may be sanctified, that all the baptized may avoid evil and engage in good conduct, and that in the midst of daily struggles they may receive strength to make the good confession, let us pray to the Lord. For our nation, that we may set aside enmity and strife and join together for the good of all. For our cities and communities, that we may continue to care for the needs of the vulnerable and defenseless. And for those who defend our nation from every evil intent, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For children and young people, that they would receive the care and guidance they need from their parents, their communities, and a large number of godly mentors, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are sick, the homebound, and those weighed down by chronic illness, that in accordance with God's will, they would receive appropriate care and be able to look past their present trouble to the peace and joy that Jesus has prepared for all his people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who mourn, that in the midst of their sorrow, the Lord of life and death would overshadow them with his comfort and peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. 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 Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
Thank you.
This true body and blood strengthen and preserve you steadfast in true faith to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen.